الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابن قاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجبين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرأ الى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It's a great night. And before we get on to the topic, just a few small reminders, and that is to benefit the most of this great night and the nights to come. There are some simple tips for us to have our du'as, for our worship, for the ibadat to be accepted. And that is, if each one of us intends sincerely to set aside a small sum as sadaqah for whatever cause you are happy with, may that be for this center, may that be for the victims worldwide, and in particular those afflicted with the floods. Set a small sum, whatever you can, and then intending all the wrong that we have done till now, have that in mind. Now all this is a lesson to myself first, asking Allah to waive, to forgive, to strike out all that has been done till now, all the wrong that we have done to others, others who have done wrong to us, to forgive them. Between the spouses, between the children, between the family members, everyone, remembering each one. And as it was mentioned repeatedly, to have that wish list of ours in mind and leave that list open, because as we go throughout the program, there might be a few items which we would like to add on to that list before we get on to the amal of Laylatul Qadr. And that is not forgetting anyone, that is all mu'mineen and all mu'minan, mu'minat, dead and alive, those who we remember and those we have forgotten. Anyone who has served us in whatever manner, keep him in mind as well. And one of the topmost requirements that we have, wishes that we have on this wish list of ours, is to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to enable all the features that have shut down in our existence, to enable all the features so that we could see the Imam of Time, enable all the features so that we could listen to what he says, enable all the features so that we could strive, work for him as he wishes, as he pleases. So all these go on to the wish list that we have. Keep it open, and inshallah, as we go. The topic that we had started from the early days of this sacred month was ascension to prosperity, and different things were mentioned that are merits, that are qualities, faza'il, that a soul, individual needs to possess, many raza'il, many demerits that we must not possess. And we came to the point that there is a quality which is known as khawf, which is fright, which is fear, which is a good quality, and that is a person needs to possess, and that is fright. Fright of the punishment, of the wrath in the hereafter, fear of the adab, fear of giving away the life, fear of maut. Now, all these things have been defined in our ahadith by Ma'asumeen. And the same thing can be seen in the performance of the prophets. Even the prophets, they were afraid of death, because it is a scary incident which every one of us has to face. In khawf it was mentioned that we have to strengthen our aqaid, that is the fundamentals. If we don't, sakarat, which are the pains of death, which everyone will see, they are so severe, they are so strong. Now this is something which we see in our day-to-day life, that if a person he's so much busy in his daily schedule, tensed and overburdened with his day-to-day tasks, many a times you find that when you are in trouble, when you are in pain, you've got these headaches, etc., many of the things we just forget. Riwayat, they say that sakarat, that is the pains a person would see when he is departing from this world, they are so severe that the basics, which are the usul, which have been so strong with us, it may well happen that we forget the usul, the fundamentals. And if a person forgets the fundamentals, it is a death on kufr, dying away from iman. So for that reason, we have to be strong enough to have these usul so much protected and immune that even in those sakarat, we don't forget them. So that is in the category of khawf, that a person needs to possess that fear and fright, which is a positive quality. And the next quality which we need to possess, which a person must not possess, is yas. We talked about raja. Raja is hope, and that we have to have hope. I'll talk on this hope again, because we need that hope tonight. Because all our hope is in the mercy of Allah. All our hope is in Ma'sumeen. Because we, with all this performance, the faulty performance that we have no hope in any of these a'mal. All the hope is with Allah. So, confronting khawf, we have raja. Raja is hope. And again, the opposite of raja is ya's. It's being hopeless, being in despair. And for that, if you look into Quran, it says that يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنُتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ That is, O those, يَا عِبَادِي, that is, my servants. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Those who have done israf, those who have crossed the limits upon themselves, that is, by this tyranny, by this oppression, they have committed on their own selves, لَا تَقْنُتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ That is, to those who have sinned, those who have done wrong, Allah says that do not lose hope, do not be in despair. لَا تَقْنُتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Or else it says that وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الظَّالُّونَ Who is he who will lose hope, who will have no hope in Allah, but that they are among the misled, those who are deviated. So having hope in Allah is a sign of iman. Having no hope in Allah, it's a sign of kufr. It's a sign of deviation. Or elsewhere says, لا تيأس من روح الله That is, إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون That it is only the kuffar who have no hope in Allah. That is, again, yes. In one of these ahadith that we have, that is during the time of our aged Imam Ridha alayhi salatu It so happens that in there, one of these commanders was seen eating during the month of Ramadan. Now the person who sees him eating comes to the Imam and says that I wondered why he was eating in the month of Ramadan. He wasn't ill and he wasn't a traveler. And then when he starts asking that why have you been eating, he says that whether I eat, whether I don't, whether I fast, whether I don't, it's going to make no difference. The sin that I have committed, it's so great that for me fasting and not fasting would do no good. And then he says that what did you do? Says I was summoned by Ma'mun. Ma'mun called me. And then when I went to him, he said, How much are you in my service? I just wanted to check. He says, whatever you want, it's at your disposal. And then he walks out. Ma'mun says, no, that's not sufficient. Then he is summoned once again. Same question, how much can you serve me? Says, my existence, all of it, my life, be your ransom. I will sacrifice it for you. All my wealth also will be yours. My wife and my children also will be sacrificed for you. Whatever you want, as you wish. He says, no. Comes back. For the third time when he is summoned, he says, all what you want, I will do. Myself, my family, my wealth, all of my possession will be at your disposal. In addition to that, my iman, my faith. Mamun says, now it's for something. I can trust you. Says, follow the slave. He follows him, brings him to a cell. There are 40 sadat, old men. Gives him a sword. Says, instructions are, you kill them, dump them in this well, all of them. The first cell belongs to these young 40 men. He kills all of them. And then he's taken to another cell. Again, 40 men over there from among the Sadat, elderly. All of them were killed. And when he comes to the third cell, again the same sword, the same well is there, and he has to kill all of these 40 very, very old men, Sadat. He kills each one of them, and the last person, when he was being killed, he says, what answer do you have to give to Hazrat Zahra on the Day of Judgment? Why did you kill him? And then the slave says, you've done that big massacre. This is the last one. Do it. He kills, dumps him in the well, and then comes home and he breaks his fast. This message is given to the Imam. Imam says, although he has committed a grave sin, that is a mass massacre of so many mu'mineen, but in addition to that, he is committing a greater sin, and that is ya's, that is losing hope in the mercy of Allah. Now, normally someone who has committed so many sins does not get a tawfiq, an opportunity to repent. But in addition to all of those sins, losing hope, it's again another sin on top of all the sins that a person has committed. So raja, it's to have hope in Allah, is among the greatest qualities a mu'min can possess. A person, now it's because the days of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'll quote as much as I can from the Imam so that we benefit from him as much as we can. During the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, a person on his deathbed, giving away his life, Imam comes by him, says, how are you? In reply, he says that, afraid of my sins, but hopeful in the mercy of Allah. And in reply, Imam says that, because of that hope he has in Allah, all that fright and fear will be removed from him, because of that hope. So we have to create that hope in Allah. Not just saying that I have hope in God, that is not sufficient. Having hope in God, first we have to accept God, His existence, and then hope tops up on that. Or again, elsewhere, the Prophet says that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will ask His servant, why did you do this wrong? Why did you not refrain from all that I told you to refrain from? If in the reply he says that I had hope in you and I was scared of the mankind, Allah says that I forgave that sin because you had hope in me. So having hope in Allah, it's great. Now these nights that we have got together, it's one of those nights where this hope strengthens in us that has to be strengthened. Elsewhere says that on the Day of Judgment, to those mu'mineen who will be punished in the hell, one of them says, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan. That is, oh, who is the most kind? Ya Mannan, who has the most favors. Upon hearing this call of that mu'min from the hell saying, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, Allah instructs Jibreel to go and bring him to his presence. When he is brought to the presence of Allah, there says that Allah asks him, how was your cell where you were assigned that punishment? He in reply says, it was horrible. It was terrible. And then says, instructions are take him back to that cell to be punished. When Jibreel takes him back, this moment turns away and looks at Allah. Again, that raja, that hope, with all that hope. Says, why do you look at me? Says, I have hope in you. For that hope, he says, I forgave him. Take him to the paradise. So that raja has to be there. Elsewhere, our fifth imam, he reports, says that I saw in the notes of my grandfather, that is the imam of tonight, in his notes, and there says that he said that once the Holy Prophet from the member says that by him, that is by God, all the benevolence that is given to a mu'min is based on that hope he has in God. That is that husnizan that he has in God. How much optimistic he is in God. The more the optimism, the more he will be blessed. So that hope has to be created. And then says that, and on top of that hope, well-mannered, good manners, akhlaq. Plus, refraining from backbiting. And then says, by God, there is no God besides him. After repentance, God never punishes a believer, but that he is pessimistic in God, that is, having no hope in God. Has no hope in him, he is ill-mannered, and also he backbites. Such a person, he deserves to be punished. And then again he says, by God, there is no God but him. There is no mu'min who has a hope, who has hope in God, but that God acts in accordance to the hope he has in God. That is, as he is generous, now the more the hope I have in God, the more I will benefit from the generosity of God. The lesser the hope I have in him, the lesser I will benefit from him. So this hope, the more we have, the more we benefit. For example, we have these riwayat which say that if 40 mu'mineen participate in the funeral of a mu'min, a regular mu'min, not one of those top-notch, high-class mu'mineen, just a regular one, 40 mu'mineen participate in the funeral of a mu'min, or 40 mu'mineen recite a namaz-e-wahshat for a mu'min, says that Allah is ashamed to punish that mu'min. Because 40 witnesses are there. Means that 40 people have hope in God. If two witnesses give a testimony, Allah accepts. Now we've got 40. Says, for that 40 people who have hope in the mercy of Allah, this person will be waived, will be forgiven. That is hope. We have to have that hope in Allah. Now how to strengthen this hope? How to create this hope? Quran says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his angels, the prophets, they pray. They pray for a mu'min to be forgiven. Again, that is hope. That they want this hope to be created in a mu'min for him to have that hope in Allah for him to be forgiven. Quran says, wal malaikatu yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim wa yastaghfiruna liman fil ard, that the angels, they glorify the existence of Allah, bihamdi rabbihim, they praise their Lord, wa yastaghfiruna, and they seek forgiveness, liman fil ard, for all those who are in this land, in this earth. Why? Because they have hope, for that hope. So sins, again, if you look into the concept of tawbah that we have, repentance, that too is amazing. Says the moment you intend to do a good job, a good action, immediately that good is written. Before you have started the job, you just intended to do something, for example, after 10 years. It's already been recorded as a good task of yours. But when it comes to a sin, a mu'min who has committed that, says the angels who are recording these, the performance of this individual, are instructed not to record it for 7 hours. Within those 7 hours, if he repents, says, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, dhul jalali wal ikram, wa atubu ilayh, 3 times, that sin will not be recorded. It will not be written, it will not be registered. So that is, again, that whole concept of hope that we have to have in Allah. Again, it's amazing when it comes to tawbah and repentance. Now, Quran says that on the day of judgment, everything will bear witness for us. Everything will bear witness against us. So much so that the limbs, the hands, the feet that we have, the parts of our body which are with us, they will bear witness for us. They will bear witness against us. Ayah of Quran says, "Lima shahidtum alayna," that on the day of judgment, he will address his own parts of his own body, that why are you bearing witness against me? And these parts would say that antaqana Allah alladhi antaqa kulla shay, that Allah who had given you speech in this world has given speech to each one of us. That is why we bear witness against you. Says, now with all these witnesses that we have around us, if a person sincerely repents, that is tawbah, asks Allah to forgive, says, not only will I make these two angels who are constantly registering our performance, I will make them forget what they have recorded. Says, I will erase what they have written in that book. Says, on top of that, all these witnesses that are around us, I will make each one of them forgetful, so that they don't give witness against you in the hereafter. Says, the space wherein that sin was committed, I will clear that space totally, so that that sin does not exist at all. So that is Allah, that is His mercy. And on a night like tonight, we have to have this repentance, this tawbah, this forgiveness request in that wish list of ours, topmost me, myself, first. Having hope in Allah, that is Raja. Having hope in Ahlul Bayt, again, that is the same thing. If we knock that door, it is that door which Allah has kept before us as a means of salvation, as a means to come to Him in easier terms.
Subhanallah.
I did mention this incident before. I'd like to mention it once again. And because the more we listen to these instances, the better we understand. And reminders are good at all times. About 60, 70 years ago, quoting from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, among the Maraji' al-Taqleed living in Mashhad, he says that during his time, it was as such that there were groups which used to travel to Najaf. And there, we have these majalis that are held for Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And there a group comes from India. And that group sees that these two brothers, who are the Maddahs, they recite wonderful for Aba Abdullah, for Ahlul Bayt. And then he says that, I invited these two brothers who were reciting in Farsi to India to come and recite for the Indians over there. Now, why did he invite Farsi speakers to India? That is, again, another mystery. When it comes to the language of love for Ahlul Bayt, these languages are nothing. It's that devotion, that connection. A person gets connected to Ahlul Bayt by just being seated in the majlis of Ahlul Bayt. So language makes no part. Now these two brothers, they head on to India, they recite, and they were frequent visitors. On one occasion says that we reached there, and in the seaport there was a group travelling for Hajj. The younger brother says that we are mustatir and we must go for Hajj. The elder brother says, yes, but we have committed. Let's recite first and we can do the Hajj later on. He says, we can't. We are mustatir. We have to go for Hajj. There's a little heated debate between the two brothers. The younger sets off for Hajj. The elder remains in Bombay, reciting for Aba Abdullah. And when he comes back, says that the welcoming this time was different, as they used to welcome me in the prior trips. And then I found out the reason for that was my elder brother, he has died, he has passed away. He is worried that he passed away, far away from his hometown, and without anyone from his family members in his funeral, has a request, a pleading with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, so that a communication is created between him and his brother, if he could serve him in any way, that is the younger brother. And a communication is created between the two, and then he says, how are you? How did you depart? Says, mess. Everything was a mess. I departed from this world in pain. Says, why? Says, because of that one hajj that I did not do. Because of that one hajj. And then says, the situation now has changed. Says, how? Says, I was taken to the worst cells in Barzakh. Because in Barzakh, we believe there is a Jahannam as there is a Jannat in Barzakh. I was taken to that cell, assigned the worst punishment over there, and these two angels came to take me from this cell to a worst cell to be punished even more.
Ya Allah.
And then, because his acquaintance, his hope was somewhere else, he says, all my life I recited for Ahlul Bayt, and that tongue of mine was used to reciting for them, that is, having hope in them. And then he says that I started pleading, reciting, saying, Daste mano inayato lutfo ata ye Fatime, qalbe mano mahabbato ruze jaza ye Fatime, be bazle daste Fatime, be khake pa ye Fatime. That is, me and this possession of mine, which is nothing, this my hand of mine and those bestowals of Fatima, this heart of mine which is filled with love for Fatima, by the hands of Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima, manam gedaye Fatime, manam gedaye Fatime, I am a beggar of Fatima. He starts pleading. Says, upon this crying and pleading of mine, she appears. Says, what is it? Says, help. Says, okay, to the angels, take him to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is taken to Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was mentioned yesterday and day before yesterday that he is Qasim al-Nar wal-Jannah, the distributor of the hell and the heaven. It's Amir al-Mu'mineen. Taken to him, he says, why did you bring him here? Take him back to where I told you to take. Once again, the two angels take the instructions from Mawla, take him from that cell to the other cell. Once again, he starts pleading, Daste mano inayato lutfo ata ye Fatime, qalbe mano mahabbato ruze jaza ye Fatime, be bazle daste Fatime, be khake pa ye Fatime, manam geda ye Fatime, manam geda ye Fatime. Then she comes again, says, what's it? Imam has declined, rejected. Says, come on, let's go together. Now this is again that hope, that love, that bond that was created in this world remained with him, and again over there. Says, they went to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he before Hazrat Zahra is all respect. Says, yes, Zahra. Says, do something for this Madda who has loved us, who has served us, who has cried for us, who has made others cry for us. Ali, do something. He says, Zahra, what can I do? Instructions given to me are clear. Someone who has died not performing his Hajj, has died Yahudiyan aw Nasraniyan, has died a Jew or a Christian. I can't do anything. She says, Ali, there has to be a way out. He has to be helped. He had hope in us. She says, Mahdi, calls her grandson. There Imam appears before her grandmother and grandfather, says, yes, what can I do? Says, Mahdi, I want you to perform a hajj on behalf of this Madda of mine this year. He has a shortfall and that needs to be compensated. He says, yes, performs a hajj on behalf of that Madda. And after that he says, my situation in Barzakh changed. That is, by that one hajj of the Imam. His Hajj means an accepted Hajj. This question may come to our mind that why is it as such that Imam is seen in Mecca every year? If he is a mukallaf, if he has duties like you and me, it's just one Hajj wajib on him. So why is that 1,071 years, for example, till today, he is in Hajj every year? As if he is making up the shortcomings of Mu'mineen in that Hajj for us. So that is that hope that we have in Ahlul Bayt. That is that hope we have in Ahlul Bayt. Especially on a night like tonight, that we ask Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala, that to give us, to bless us this Raja, this hope, as much as it is possible, and to add that on to the wish list of ours. It was mentioned that we need some more things for tonight, and that is dua. Dua, it is that sword, it is that ammunition of a mu'min. Silahul mu'min. Dua, it's that core of worship. How to call upon Allah. Prayers that we offer, that too is hope. That is that raja, that is that request and seeking the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one of these riwayat that I will quote here from our sixth Imam says that من دعا لأربعين رجلا من إخوانه قبل أن يدعو لنفسه استجيب له فيهم وفي نفسه. Now many a times we are selfish, or most of the time, or all of the time we are selfish when it comes to prayers. We just look after our own selves. That God, this is what I want, A, B, C, D. Restricted requirements we have, and we just move within that small framework. Friends, the teaching is that you need a lot, but we are unaware. Imam over here says in this hadith that whosoever has a dua for 40 men, for 40 mu'mineen, min ikhwanihi, from among his brothers, that is mu'mineen, from among the brothers and sisters, says if he prays for them, for 40 of them. Now whenever the term 40 is mentioned, it doesn't mean that exactly 39 and 40. It means a group, for example. Or whenever 70 is mentioned, doesn't mean 70 precisely. It is a group, an abundance. When you pray for them, Allah, Imam says that du'as of his will be accepted by default, automatically, even if he doesn't mention them. If you pray for others, your du'as will be accepted. Says if the person who is asking Allah for du'as, if his du'as do not ascend, but those present in that majlis, one of them says Ameen, sincerely with khulus, du'as of the entire community is accepted. Du'a of the entire majlis is accepted. And hadith says that not only that majlis, du'a of that entire city, for example this over here, if you've got 5 million people living here, du'as of all of them are accepted. By this, just that one Ameen of that one person. And then Imam continues, says that Kana Abi radiyallahu anhu yaqul fi du'aihi Rabbi aslih li nafsi. Again, when we ask Allah for du'as, what do we ask? How do we ask? The topic was ascension to prosperity. That we do something to purify ourselves so that the soul becomes lighter, it clings and attaches to the unseen, to Allah. The distance between us and Allah reduces. For that reduction of the distance, that what is required is a pure soul that could elevate from this dirty world with all that contamination, elevate higher. For that, purity of the soul is required. Says that my father, he said, in his du'as, Rabbi aslih li nafsi. That is, God, correct my soul, correct myself. That is, remove all that contamination that is in it. That is, all these things that a soul must not possess, must not be possessed. All these things that a soul must possess, must be possessed. What is that? Raja. Hope is good, must possess. Khawf is good, fright, must possess. Not having hope in Allah is bad, must not have it. All these things which should be present in one's soul, be present, all that contamination which must not be there, to put aside. Imam says, the first thing he said, Aslih li, correct me. Or in this dua that we recite every night in the month of Ramadan, says, Aslih kulla fasidin min umur al-muslimin. That correct every corruption among the Muslims. We don't say only in us, because the whole creation has to be pure, has to be away from contamination for that Imam to arrive. He won't arrive in contamination. He won't step in dirt. He won't step in filth. That filth has to be put aside. Things have to be paved, pured, dusted, vacuumed, cleaned, for him to put his pure feet on that land. That land has to be clean. As Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That this earth will be inherited by the pious, by the pure. Now he is the purest. If he is to step, we have to pave, we have to clear. And for that clearing, for that cleaning process, it starts from us. Imam says, start from yourself, ask Allah, Aslih li nafsi, God, clear myself, correct myself. And then says, فَإِنَّهَا أَهَمُّ الْأَنفُسِ إِلَيَّ. That is the best and the most important before you step and ask for du'as. And then says, what do I ask for next? Says, say, Rabbi, aslih li dhurriyati. That is, Allah, correct my dhurriya. That is, my children. That is, my sons, my daughters. Doesn't mean that my immediate son, it could be generations to come. Not my son, my daughter, my grandson, my grandsons, grandchildren, until the end. All of that has to be clear, clean. And then says, fi dhurriyati. Why? فَإِنَّهُمْ يَدِي وَعَذُدِي. Because they are my hands and they are my arms. Doesn't mean that we need them to help us out to lift things and clean things and put things down. No. That is one of the small, minute meanings that we can take of them. We need them, we need their support. We have an eternity in front of us. For that everlasting and eternal life, we need support. If we die, we have them, they can continue. If we have shortfall, they will make up. That is that continuity that we are talking about. And then says, Rabbi aslih li dhurriyati fa'innahum yadi wa'adudi. And then says, Rabbi aslih li ahla bayti. God, correct my household. If there is wrong in them, correct it. Now it's a night of dua. We intend sincerely that if there is contamination in us, now everyone knows what is wrong in him himself. We don't need to point out at anyone. We know ourselves more than anyone knows. And we know what wrong we have, what shortcomings we have.